program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. You know, we had a while back, June, we had a caller talking about the loss of a pet, and really you shared a great story about the fact that some people just don't take that too seriously, but there are things that we probably should not say in certain situations and things we should say or could say in those situations where someone's facing grief.
I remember that call, and I remember also sharing a scenario where I had I was asked to do a Christmas interview with KCBI, a radio station, and the station manager, I said, yeah, I bet there will be a lot of people who will have lost a pet. And Carl Singer, the radio general manager, he just started laughing. I said, no, I'm serious. He said, a pet? And every single call that we had, bar none, every single one was on the loss of a dog or a cat. I don't remember a fish or anything else. But my point is, what do you say when, oh, I've just lost my precious, let's see, for me, we had a dog named Bambi. And, oh, did I get crushed when the dog followed me and got killed in the road. I didn't know that she was dog following me. But the thing is, what do you say? Well, often, you can always get another dog. And I remember I've heard that multiple times. Or you can always get another cat or another whatever. Instead, say, tell me about your dog. So what was its name? What did you like so much? Or love so much about him or her? And you just say, I know you'll miss him. And how precious that you have affection for dogs, because many people don't. And I'm sure that when you visit other people, go with other families, they know when someone cares about them. So just talk, but it's not just you can get another, because it's true that yes, you could get another, but that's not valuing the dog that has just died, or the cat, or it could be the parrot. I have a sister who has a parrot, and something happened to her parrot, and now she has Stanley, who is green, and so she actually calls her parrot Frog, but that confuses children. So around children, she only calls her parrot Stanley. That's only with children, because the parents don't want the children confused about Frog. Now, seriously, what about the death of a child? Well, at least you could have other children. No. Tell me about your daughter. What was her name? How old was she? What did you love the most about her? Or your son? Your son, what was his name? How old was he? I'm sure that there was joy watching him grow up or grow. What did you remember that you liked the most? Just talk about the one who is now no longer here, and bring back memories. I kind of watched my mom do this. My dad was president of a company, and when there'd be a death in the large company, it would be either the husband or the wife. But I remember many times we would go to the home of a new widow, a brand new widow, and mother would first just embrace the widow. She may not even know the widow, but she would say, "I'm so sorry for your loss." And then she'd say, "Tell me about your husband." And all of a sudden, there would be the light in the eyes would come. And what did you love the most about him? And it just was an easy transition. I can tell you, I learned from my mother to do that. And it's very precious. Now you're having a real relationship. It's not like, well, a lot of people remarry at your age. That's the wrong thing to say. Say, what did you value the most? What character trait? And say, or if you knew him, you know, I really valued his integrity. In fact, I just think about him and I just so respected his humility. He was certainly a man to be admired.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their lives. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
This program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to this rebroadcast of Hope in the Night. We hope the content of this program will bring you biblical hope and practical help. Please note that the special offers that occur during the program may not be available through this rebroadcast. Now, here's Hope in the Night with June Hunt.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of grief, we do have information and resources that will help you with that. Call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They can help you anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll access the appropriate resources for you. Their number again, 800-488-4673. Our Keys for Living called Grief, Living at Peace, with loss. And again, you can reach customer support at 800-488-HOPE. If you prefer email, you can reach them at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Ask any questions you have there and order the resources straight from email as well. It's again, customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. One additional place you can find the information you need is from our app, and that's a free download for you. It's simply called Hope for the Heart, and you'll find resources there as well, and that will help you in whatever you're dealing with. Let's get to our conversation now with Beth.
Well, welcome back, my friend. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, June. It's good to talk with you again.
Thank you. Well, I know we had previously talked about your mom, and I took notes about what we talked about, and you have a heart to help. You really do have a heart to help your mom. And sometimes it's hard when there can be a resistance or not seeing the need for help. And we talked about several aspects. So let me make sure I'm tracking what you are wanting to do. Help me know, what is your question?
Yeah, so you helped me understand last time we spoke a lot about what my mom is, what she's going through, and having compassion for her actual situation.
The Alzheimer's, is that what you're talking about? Are you talking about the Alzheimer's?
Well, about the memory loss and the hoarding, where she's coming from with, that's a security for her.
Okay. Yeah.
And I mentioned also possible OCD, but of course none of this has really been diagnosed. And so what I'm facing, my immediate question, but the immediate challenge right now is how to approach her in such a way that she'll get on board to receive the professional help that she needs and get diagnosed so we can have a clear picture of what she's actually facing. Because I've talked with her many times, sometimes briefly, sometimes just mentioning it, sometimes at length, but she often will just shut down the conversation or tell me that she'll just keep it so it doesn't affect me, as if she can do that. So my first question is, you know, how do I approach her? Do I try with a friend, with a trusted friend now, and what do I say? And then if we have time, I'd like to ask you about if she resists further and we can't get those diagnoses, you know, how to proceed and mm-hmm. really know what her load is versus what she really needs help with from me.
Mm-hmm. Well, first I just want to say I just appreciate your heart to help. I did not have a resistant mother, but I had deep care for my mother, and I took her to many, many, many doctor's appointments, and I'm just writing something on that tonight, and so you've touched my heart, because there are a lot of people, a lot of either sons or daughters, usually it's the daughters, that have this role that you're in. And so help me understand this. What do you believe is her resistance? Are you saying a resistance to even go to a doctor's appointment?
Yeah. Or is it? She had spoken with her doctor about having some memory problems, and he said, "Oh, we can do a test for that." And she said, "Okay." Well, when she found out it was a full day, 8 hours long, she got scared and backed out. I think she's afraid to find out that something's really wrong. She's had mental health problems and depression for most of her life, and I think that she's just, now that both her parents have passed away and she's given up the caregiving role, I think that she's wants her life to be normal and not to have a problem.
Okay.
And she also, usually when I call her, she'll say, "Well, I'm sorting my room again. I just got to get through the stuff, the papers that I have." And I've tried to tell her that, you know, that's not really going anywhere unless we get help, because there's something blocking success you know, you have too much stuff. But in her mind, it's, no, I'll just get through this, I'll just get through this, and then I'll get the help I need.
Right. Well, with hoarding, it is very threatening to have stuff that is literally stuff. I mean, it can even be that which should be thrown away because it's not sanitary, and yet that can be very, very hard, very threatening because of this sense of security. That's their security, and that's a condition with hoarding. But what I'm hearing you say is, excuse me, let's start with your mom and a doctor. Does she have a quote-unquote family doctor or a doctor that she responds to?
She has a family doctor, yes. I don't know how much she responds to him. She has, I guess you could say, a life habit of not really listening to people. It's hard for her to trust people. I've offered to go with her to this doctor, but I'm not sure what their relationship is like.
Well, it would be hugely helpful if she trusted the doctor. And a concept is this. I'm going to give you an example with me. I somehow got hepatitis B, and all of a sudden I was going to be doing this. And there was some high levels of whatever, and this is years ago. And then all of a sudden, 10 years later, I had cancer, and all of a sudden, I was on chemotherapy, and all of a sudden, my liver count just went way high. And so my brother mentioned, he said, I'm going to find the right doctor. He found a doctor who has a specialist, who is a specialist with this. And I was going to him, and about a year later, this doctor said, June, I've got great news for you. There is a pill. If you will take it every day, basically without fail, just make sure you approximately do it every day, and you will never have difficulty with your liver counts, your levels. And the reason that was important is because all of a sudden I was supposed to do a trip. I was going to be a speaker and throughout Argentina, and my doctor was trying to get me not to go. A different doctor was trying to get me not to go. No, you can't go. I said, I have to. I'm it, you know. And I did. And I kind of pushed through things. But the point is, they were saying, but these levels are very, excessively high. Now listen to this. So my point is, you could tell your mother when it's an appropriate time that you and I were talking. Just say I was talking with someone who had a particular condition, and all of a sudden they came out with this medication. And she's never had any trouble with it now for a number of years. And the point is, they keep coming out with brand new things. I mean, this is not unusual, but there are improvements. Again and again, sometimes, I mean, there had not been anything like this. And this particular doctor at Southwest Medical School, he had worked on the project himself. So he knew all about it, and it wasn't, I mean, he knew when it came out. He said, you know, I was part of the origination of this medication. Right. So my point is this. And now I want you to think about also Alzheimer's. There are continual drugs, I'm talking about, not drugs, medications that are more and more targeting things that are that areas for preventative and I have a friend who is in the throes of Alzheimer's, and you know, they got her onto something, but there are other things today. In fact, I just talked with a pharmacist about my friend with Alzheimer's, and she said she needs this, and it was just phenomenal. The pharmacist happens to be the wife of one of our men who are in the broadcast area of this program of in our ministry, and I had no idea she had a 28 year liaison to help people with nursing homes and medications for the elderly. And so I just sat there. I just took notes like crazy. I just was writing and writing. And then, but I don't have power of attorney. And a daughter does. And so I had to, I did a full court press, meaning I said, I plead with you. And I don't use that language. I said, I plead with you. Your mother needs this. See, I don't have the authority that, but I learned all kinds of things that I had no idea about that were highly informative. Now, your mom is not where my friend is, and her mom had Alzheimer's, and so there was a history that so didn't surprise us. But yet, you know, the good news is the kinds of medications that can be helpful with preventative things. I happen to like the concept of being preventative of anything, or anything that can. Now, is she in that? Does she have that mindset or not at all?
No, that's why I'm eager to get her in, because the research I've done is saying, you know, the earlier you catch this stuff, the better the prognosis is. And so I'm trying to say to her, Mom, I really think there's a problem, you know, in a respectful way, but, I mean, maybe I need to be more forceful. I'm not sure what's appropriate.
When we last talked, I asked you, does she have a trusted friend? And you said there is one. And, you know, I just remember with my mom, I was conferring with my mom's friend, Sarah, regularly, because it's interesting when two people are saying the same thing. I'm going to use the term there's power in numbers, and I don't mean to overpower her. It's more like confirmation that, you know, well, we need to just check this out, because you want to have the best health for as long as possible, whether it's, you know, mental, any, you know, physical, whatever.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. And we exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support. And we just want to thank you for that. You may wonder, how can you support this broadcast? We are listener-funded and cannot do this ministry work without your financial support. Please go to hopefortheheart.org and make a gift today. If that's on your heart to do that, we'd appreciate that. And if you just maybe bless it forward, if you've been blessed by June and this broadcast with a gift to keep Hope in the Night on the air, just go ahead and go over to hopefortheheart.org. That's hopefortheheart.org on your phone or your computer. And you'll find the donate button on the homepage, and we would always appreciate that, and of course your prayerful support as well. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. We have Confrontation Challenging Others to Change, Keys for Living There, as well as Alzheimer's and Dementia, Doing What's Best for Your Brain. And again, you can reach customer support at 800-488-4673. If you have something you're dealing with and would like to talk to June about it on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, please call us at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Just leave a message and we'll get back to you to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. And now let's return to our caller, Beth.
Well, my friend, a thought I have is, you could call the doctor's office and go on and say what your desire is. I would like for my mom to come in. I know she needs testing, but it might be first where she goes in for like a flu shot or a, you know, just things that are a concern, because right now what you don't, well, the concept is, if a person has a pre-existing condition and then gets something like a COVID-19, the problem is they are much more likely to have great difficulty overcoming the illness. And so this is this would be a preventative, is, you know, but then to go in, but you tell the doctor ahead of time. You often talk with the assistant. There can be, I don't know the structure at the office, but there are people who know to get messages to the doctor. But the point is, for her to be checked for anything that could be preventative, and to, you know, in other words, not just a flu shot, but anything that would be a help to her. Now, my thought can be this. You could call the doctor's office and say, I know that I need to help my mother overcome her reluctance to get medical help. Do you have anything that's written? Do you have suggestions? Where can I get help to help my mother so that she would be more than willing to go to come to the doctor's office? In other words, they should have resources like that. And I'm not saying,
like, putting the symptoms in front of her and saying, like, look, can we read this together? Does this sound like you?
Well, initially, it's how do we get her in, even to be at the doctor's office, and but tell the doc, let the doctor know that what the issues are, because I have done this before. I did it about less than a year ago with someone, where the doctor needed to know information about a patient, and I said, You don't have to respond to me. I'm just giving you information, but I'm not asking for any, I needed to do it that way because there's confidentiality, you know, and it depends on if someone has given approval. It's a HIPAA law type thing. But by the way, who has her power of attorney?
That would be my dad.
Okay. And is that a good thing that he has that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
He cares for her as much as possible, even though she's resistant to anybody's help. So yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, the and there is another thing that you can do. There are certain organizations. I'm going to say it would be. In fact, you could look up, like on the computer, like for Alzheimer's, for hoarding, for whatever the issues are that you're concerned about, because earlier you had mentioned OCD. And the bottom line is there are times that where there are help. It's for the average person. They have not just a help desk, but they have today, if you can pose your question and articulate, say, I need to confront my mom. I want to help her get help. What do you suggest? How can I intervene in her life? Because it's not a negative confrontation. You're trying to intervene in her life for her benefit. And and so I think what I'm saying is today, unlike years ago, you know, there's just a wealth of information that's available on the internet, or there are books that can give those kinds of suggestions that you could, and the more you know, actually, about whatever the concern is, because you have several concerns, the more you know. And especially with her friend, if she's willing to be a part of this, to just do what's best in behalf of her friend, your mother, this can be a blessing where the two of you are talking together about what can motivate her to get, because you've got to get her in the front door first, meaning into the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. But you have to also know, like, for example, let's say someone is suicidal. You don't just go to the doctor and ask for a checkup. I mean, yes, somebody may have to do a checkup, but you say, this is the condition. Either I or someone else, you know, I'm having very dark thoughts and have, you know, really battled with suicide. So you tell the doctor ahead of time so that the doctor can know what to test for or what could be potential areas of concern. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah.
And it'll be easy.
And once I do that, once I educate myself, there are actually a couple organizations that come to mind already.
Great.
I guess from a biblical sense, like having spoken with my mom at length by myself, you mentioned bringing her friend in. Is it appropriate for me to, you know, lovingly confront my mom with the friend at the same time, like together? Because the friend has spoken with my mom too, but I think my mom, you know, she even asked me, have you ever talked with anyone about this? And she was embarrassed that I had spoken with someone about it. So I think she'll take offense, possibly, if I approach her with this friend. But I feel like you know, maybe that's the next step, and I wonder if there's wisdom in that.
Well, I think the issue is you are not a steamroller. That is hard. If you had a disposition where I don't care, I'm gonna, you know, you need this, that is not you. And when you look at the scripture, honor your father and mother, you are honoring her by caring. I mean, you know, I'm trying to motivate a daughter right now to care enough to intervene, you know, but you're so much farther there than someone else I'm trying to help whose daughter is not even, but she has power of attorney. So I think what you pray, and in fact, I will send you, there could be something that would really be helpful to you. We call it confrontation, and it's challenging others to change. How can we challenge someone to do what's best? And there are different methods. Sometimes there are different kinds of approaches that are methods that are used in the Bible to confront. And sometimes it is literally asking a question, and you just keep asking questions. And you know, we have five different methods that are used in the Bible, and one is, you know, just telling a true-to-life story. You're telling, it's an indirect type of confrontation. We explained that. By the way, in Job chapter 38 through chapter 42, over and over and over, it's interesting questions God was using, questions, and it's fascinating. You'll find this interesting. But one of the things I have found, I'm just going to mention this. At times, even with young people, I've used this, but it could be telling a story about somebody, and it's always been a true story for me, but it's like, what would you do if you're trying to help someone? Your mom, if somebody has da-da-da-da, what do you think, what do you think could help this person? And many times, it's fascinating, they will come up with incredibly helpful information and appropriate you know, so you could try that and say, and it could be, you know, that you might know someone who needs to go, could be a friend of yours, and just say, you know, I know somebody who really needs to go to the doctor, but I can't, I'd like to hear what you would have to say. And it obviously, what you're doing is helping the thought process go, well, if you would do this, or and now it can motivate her to think differently than about her own condition. And I promise you, that can be amazing when you, I've used this a number of times, just what would you do? How could you help her? How could you help him?
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. If you have questions about these topics or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address whatever you're dealing with in life. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE, and they're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. It can help you access the resources that you need. The keys for living today, Alzheimer's and dementia, doing what's best for your brain. Again, that's Alzheimer's and dementia. And customer support can help you with that at 800-488-4673. Also, I want to let you know about our website, and you can find quite a bit of information there at hopefortheheart.org/store. There are three areas of the store. First is the recently updated and newly designed Keys for Living topics. These resources provide biblical hope and practical help on a variety of topics, so stress, anxiety, fear, marriage, parenting, over 40 topics in the new store, and will be added monthly to that. So also the new video-based training program called Lifeline to Hope. It's a 10-session lay caregiving training course that will be helpful to you and your ministry in your church. Lastly, a place called June's Place, and it's June's biblical resources there. You'll find it all at hopefortheheart.org/store. Well, let's get back to our conversation with Beth.
Well, Beth, again, I'm just grateful to God for you because so many don't care, and you do. And yet, I understand that you can feel stymied because your mom does not want to have people know about her challenges. And I'm assuming you're thinking about, like, the memory loss. Is that your biggest concern, or which one? Is there one that's more so than the other?
I think the memory loss is impacting her the most noticeably. Mm-hmm. Probably the potential of OCD is a little more frightening to me because it's, I think, it may have been impacting her life longer and making it harder for her to function, and it's more difficult to identify. So I'm not sure which is harder.
Okay.
I know that the memory loss part is making it difficult to converse with her because she won't remember parts of conversations that we've had about the problems. Or I might say, hey, let's talk to the doctor. And if she's sounding receptive to it, she might say, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But she won't remember unless I, like, hound her.
Well, she can't help it if she doesn't remember at this time. Now, I think I learned were you sent our material on Alzheimer's and dementia?
No, on aging and caregiving.
Okay. I think what happened is I found out that I did what we called a biblical counseling intensive, and it just, it has not, I've got a copy because I just pulled it up. Okay, the thought is this. A lot of times people, they can be resistant, but if you put something in front of them and it applies to them, then it's like, oh, because I remember my mom used to say, June, would you just tell me the truth? Do I have, but she would call it, she wouldn't call it Alzheimer's, she'd Alzheimer's. And do I have Alzheimer's? I said, no, Mom, you don't. But she periodically would ask me. And I thought, okay. And this is when, you know, more than a decade ago. So the point is, if there's, I'm going to just send it to you anyway. And we'll end up getting it done at our ministry. But right now it's not, but you'll just have my copy. But the point is, for you to go through, look through it. And I call it Alzheimer's and dementia, doing what's best for your brain. Doing what's best for your brain. And I start the whole thing this way. The endearing book and movie, The Wizard of Oz, features a limber scarecrow lamenting the fact that he doesn't have a brain. And he sings to his new friend Dorothy this little ditty, "If I only had a brain." But consider this, if he can perform this clever song and nimble dance, clearly he has to have a brain. And that's precisely the conclusion he comes to. He's had a brain all along. And then I say, have you ever wondered about your brain? Am I having trouble remembering? Then your wonder turns to worry, and your worry turns to fear. By God's design, your brain is the control center for all you think, say, and do. So what can you do if your memory is slipping? Well, you can turn to your loving God who wondrously made you, the God who chose to create you, the one who knows you and each of your days, even before one of them came into being, the one who loves you with an everlasting love. Consider who he is and thank him for all he has done for you. And the scripture says, I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works and think about what you have done. And that's Psalm 143, verse 5. Now, the reason I even did that is, read that to you as I think about it now, is when I send this to you, just as a gift from our ministry, and so you'll be one of the few people who have it, except when I first taught it, you could read that if you think that's charming. And just say, by the way, was there any relative that she had who has had, like, either parent who had Alzheimer's?
No.
Okay. Then that's okay. Now, by the way, there are different kinds of dementia. I mean, Alzheimer's is just one of the types. But my point is for you to just kind of go through this, and what could be helpful? What would be applicable to her? And you just mark up or just pull out the sheets that are applicable, and you're going to learn a lot. I promise you, you'll learn a lot, because what I did is I went to all these support groups. Before teaching it, I went in Dallas. I got a list of all these all over the city, and they were on different times, at different times, on different days of the week, and each had their own personality. And that would be Now, that could be something very helpful to you. You will, I can promise you, they're used to the questions, and that usually it's the family members who are at the support group. Not always. Sometimes it's those who also have whatever kind of dementia it is, but there are different types of dementia, and but the point is, I have found if you give someone something specifically that relates to an area of their own life that's a challenge, then they have motivation to read it. And you, now, how is her reading?
Good, yeah, she can
read. Okay, well, okay. Because there can get a point where they don't, but that, I know it, she's not in a severe situation right now. But she will, I think she will want to, and there's scripture all the way through. There's, you know, God's heart on memory. And so we have definitions, characteristics, causes, and solutions. And under the in the characteristics, we have the stages. Well, see, she can be thinking, I mean, she'll look at this, and you could say, you know, I started reading this, and I just thought this was, and, you know, you if you could go through it first, and you think, you know, this was really interesting. And in here, you know, we tell, I think, you know, stories of certain people who had a particular kind of well, in this case, it's Alzheimer's, and we deal with Charlton Heston, and some people that she would certainly know, and we give the explanation of why we're using this particular person, and so it would be beneficial to you. Glenn Campbell, for example, it was a very helpful segment on Glenn Campbell. So you're dealing with people who were in the struggle, but there is hope. There's, and by the way, there is an Alzheimer's Association, and, you know, like Ronald Reagan, we include Ronald Reagan because that was toward the end of his presidency, he was having some challenges in his second term. And so I think it the more she is able to read and be, the more knowledge she has, the more in control she'll feel. And I gather, I think it sounds like she's afraid of being out of control. Is that safe to say?
That's a really insightful, yes, I think that's true. I think that the having a book in front of her could be helpful. I think I would probably have to do it with her for her to be willing to address the material or approach it.
Well, there are a lot of books. Yeah, there are a number of good books that are out, and people who have had, you know, they're inspirational. It's not just a negative approach, and so that's another thing. So I'm certainly not excluding what other people have, and we have some resources that would, I think, be mentioned at least. When I taught, I know we had, and I'm looking right now to see if there's a section there. But no matter what, I think the more, okay, think about control. With her not knowing what to do, it's scary. She can have fear. And so, but for you to say, you know, I've really been reading something here. You know, there's so many people who have been in the struggle with this, but I found this is very interesting, and you can read it out loud just like I read that little bit to you, and then you decide what you think would be beneficial. But I would say, yes, talk first with your mother's friend individually and see if you can brainstorm what do you all think would be the best approach. But tell the doctor what you're looking for before you set that appointment. You hang on to hope.
We will send resources to tonight's caller free of charge due to your generous support of this ministry. We are listener-funded, and we appreciate your participation there. We have Alzheimer's and dementia, doing what's best for your brain. Also, the Keys for Living called Confrontation, challenging others to change. And you can order those resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE. Anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, we invite you to check out our broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart, and that's a free download for you. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.